So when Boston was an armed camp 2 weeks ago during that manhunt to capture the Tsarnaev brothers for the Marathon bombings, who helped them? Who hid them? Who intentionally or inadvertently covered their trail as police were closing in? We may be getting some answers to that question in the charges brought by the FBI against three acquaintances of Dzhokhar Tsarnaev. Two are Russian-speaking immigrants from Kazakhstan. They're charged with destroying evidence. Here's the attorney for one of the defendants.
So my name is Harlan Protas. My client, Azamat Ajayakov, feels horrible and was shocked to hear that someone that he knew at the University of Massachusetts Dartmouth was involved with the Boston Marathon bombing, just like many other individuals who were interviewed on campus.
Now, there's a third individual charged with lying to investigators. He's Robel Filippos, whose voice you can hear in this YouTube audio excerpt.
I kind of grew up the same way he did. I grew up in a very mild-mannered, you know, way of living. I wasn't too poor, wasn't too rich. I was, you know, average guy. But I've experienced so much, like, you know, going to Africa, going to seeing depths of hell.
Now, none of these three people is being charged for direct involvement in the April 15th bombings. Philip Martin is senior investigative reporter for our partner, WGBH, Boston Public Radio. Philip, welcome back.
John, thank you. So this story keeps going.
Yes, indeed. Give us a sense of the details that we're learning about these individuals' proximity to evidence. What is it we think they've actually done here?
Well, as you pointed out, the U.S. Attorney's Office, basically, here in Boston, say that the two Kazakh friends of Dzhokhar Tsarnaev, D.S. Kadrabayev and Azamat Tazayokov, both of them are 19 and living in New Bedford. Now, they're charged essentially with covering up objects that belong to Tsarnaev, chiefly a laptop computer and a backpack that contained fireworks. They're charged with basically taking that backpack, taking that computer, tossing it into a black plastic bag and dumping it, and essentially getting rid of evidence central to the investigation. And this third friend, who Tsarnaev knows from Cambridge, Cambridge Ridge and Latin, who also attended University of Massachusetts Dartmouth with the other two men and with Tsarnaev, his name is Robel Filippos, as you pointed out, he's charged with lying to federal law enforcement officials during the investigation. Time and time again, law enforcement officials would ask him a question. The story changed as the more they asked. Now, both of these, the Kazakh men, are, again, in relation to the computer and the knapsack, they're basically accused of dumping it, and it was only found after federal agents and police scoured this landfill. And inside the backpack, what they recovered was a jar of Vaseline, fireworks, and a homework assignment belonging to Tsarnaev.
Now, if they had actually known where that was and withheld that information from police, I mean, that's a very serious felony. And I understand among the details in that knapsack is firecrackers with the powder removed from them. So that's really material evidence.
It's material, and according to the criminal complaint, the Kazakh men realized how central that was to making a bomb because they had a discussion in a restaurant with Tsarnaev a month before Patriots Day on how to make a bomb. Now, they're not saying that these individuals have conspired in any way to take part in the Marathon bombing, but they are saying that they were aware of what this individual was capable of doing, and that they developed a spur-of-the-moment plan after they spotted him on television to get rid of the evidence. That's what the authorities are alleging.
Now, this individual, Robel Filippos, whose voice we heard, what's he talking about there in that YouTube video?
Let me step back just a second, describe this kid. I've actually seen him around Cambridge. He's a U.S. citizen. His mother's from Ethiopia, and she works with refugees in Ethiopia. He's talking about visiting those refugee camps where his mother worked, and his reference was to likening himself to not to Tsarnaev, but to a male role model for a school project. And so this was a YouTube video that suddenly, of course, as a result of his sudden notoriety, is making the rounds. People are referring to this YouTube video, but he's describing someone who he sees as a role model. What this YouTube video seems to also reveal is a bright, empathetic student who somehow got involved in this extraordinary, tragic event.
What's been the reaction, as far as you've been able to tell, of people in the community who, you know, may have gotten a glimpse of the Tsarnaev brothers as they zoomed by in those frantic days after the bombings.
Well, John, just as things seem to be getting back to normal, and normal, of course, is a normative term, I went out on the streets yesterday and found that people are both surprised and a bit set back by these latest events. I spoke with Eileen Colon, Jama Samak, and Brian Berry.
I can't believe they were trying to hide stuff after the fact.
And are you surprised that there was another arrest?
I was.
I just think it's incredibly sad that these are young people that feel this way. I have a 19-year-old and a 23-year-old son, and I can't imagine them being so highly influenced in such a negative, destructive manner.
It seems like a never-ending story, that the bigger they deep, the more they'll find.
Now, you're hearing there a sense of outrage in the community, which is expected, but we should take pains to point out the cops and the federal investigators are not describing this as a conspiracy to bomb, but it is possibly a conspiracy to withhold evidence from the police.
Well, that's right. What we're seeing and what the police are saying is that these are friends who basically saw a friend in trouble and worked overtime, essentially, to hide the evidence that would have implicated this friend, Tsarnaev, in this tragic event on Patriots Day, the Boston Marathon bombing.
Well, they're going to pay for that friendship if it turns out that that's true.
Well, that's true. And the attorneys for the men, of course, are saying that they're innocent and that they have been cooperating with authorities. Federal authorities are, again, alleged that these individuals lied to them and basically conspired to hide evidence.
Philip Martin, senior investigative reporter at WGBH Boston Public Radio. Thanks so much, Philip.
Thank you, John.